One way to explore the changing climate is to learn how it's changed in the past. So consider this cataclysmic event from almost two centuries ago. That's when the world experienced the biggest volcanic eruption recorded in human history. It killed approximately 100,000 people in Indonesia, and that was just the beginning. The eruption affected climate around the world. You can find clues to the effects of this eruption even when you travel thousands of miles away from the scene, which is why we begin this report in a vineyard in France. NPR's Michael Sullivan has the latest in Climate Connections, our series from National Geographic.
Alain Vautier owns Chateau Azon in Saint-Emilion, France. It's one of the oldest vineyards in Bordeaux and a place where they like to keep a fair bit of wine from each vintage in the cellar. It's an impressive collection, but there are only a few bottles from 1816, and that, Vautier says, is as it should be.
It's not a good vintage. We keep only for the history of the vineyard. It's a bad time, bad weather, bad summer, 1831, 1847, 49, are very good. 1816, no.
Daniel Lawton is the owner of Bordeaux's oldest wine brokerage house. His assessment of the 1816 vintage is even less charitable.
Detestable, you understand? Horrible year. A quarter of a normal crop. It was very difficult to make good wine.
A bad year for wine, an even worse year for a continent trying to cope with the aftermath of the Napoleonic Wars.
You had mass demobilization of large numbers of soldiers flooding onto the labor market, and you had economies disrupted, infrastructure damaged, governments in limbo, and so the conditions were already ripe for something to go wrong.
And says Patrick Webb, something did go wrong, very wrong. Webb is a dean at Tufts University's Friedman School of Nutrition Science. He describes what happened during what's now known as the year without summer, when temperatures dropped, crops failed, and people starved.
Hundreds of thousands of people died. People were reduced to eating rats and fighting over roots. And, you know, so most of these people were killed by epidemic disease related to the starvation. They simply couldn't find enough food.
In the U.S., it snowed in New England well into the summer, where the average temperatures in July and August of 1816, Webb says, were 5 to 10 degrees below normal. And all of this was triggered by something that happened more than a year earlier on the other side of the world. That something occurred here, on the island of Sumbawa, in the middle of the Indonesian archipelago.
That's Tambora. That's the volcano that has had the greatest historical eruption on Earth in 1815.
That's Haraldur Sigurdsson, a volcanologist at the University of Rhode Island. He knows more about Tambora than anyone and has been coming here for the past 20 years, collecting data on what he says is the biggest and most overlooked eruption in recorded history. 10 times bigger than Krakatoa, more than 100 times bigger than Vesuvius or Mount St. Helens.
The eruption went up about 43 kilometers up in the stratosphere. That's about 30 miles, and emitting a volume that is about 50 to 100 cubic kilometers of molten rock in the form of ash and pumice. So that volume is by far the largest volume of any volcanic event on Earth.
But it was the enormous cloud of gas released by the eruption, some 400 million tons of it, Sigurdsson says, that produced the year without summer.
That gas, it reacts with the water vapor in the atmosphere, and it forms tiny little droplets of almost pure sulfuric acid. And those tiny droplets are suspended in the stratosphere, just a veil around the Earth, backscattering some of the solar radiation, acting like little mirrors, bouncing back radiation back into space, decreasing the amount that reaches the Earth's surface.
The amount of heat that reaches the Earth's surface.
The amount of heat, right, causing global cooling.
Of course, no one really knew that at the time, and few people know about it now. It wasn't until the early 1980s, Sigurdsson says, that he caught the Tambora bug, when researchers taking core samples in the ice in Greenland made an amazing discovery.
You drill down through the ice, and you can count the rings, just like in a tree, and people started to do chemistry on those layers, and they found out that there was a whacking great sulfur concentration at one particular layer, 1816. And that was the first evidence, really, that Tambora had a global reach, that it was understudied, and we needed to get much more information on what really happened here.
He's been gathering that information ever since. His task is made easier, he says, by the scrupulous record-keeping done by the Earth itself. The layers of the soil here, not unlike the layers of ice in faraway Greenland.
Each layer is like a page in a book. These layers that we see here, they're really a graphic representation of the eruption. So they're writing down for us the history of the volcano, and they don't lie.
While he was digging, Sigurdsson discovered something else, what he calls the Pompeii of the East, the lost kingdom of Tambora.
I've studied the deposits in Pompeii and Herculaneum. The same mode of destruction, the same mode of death of the people. The difference here is that the human remains are much more carbonized. They're almost entirely carbonized. The bones are a piece of charcoal. Much higher temperature, much hotter.
And yet all the big eruptions, Tambora, Krakatau, Pinatubo, have ended up cooling the earth, causing temperatures to drop. And that, Sigurdsson says, has got some people thinking about replicating the Tambora effect in an effort to slow global warming.
People have proposed that we should induce artificial volcanoes by bringing sulfur up into the stratosphere to produce this effect. But, hey, do you want to counteract one pollution with another one? I don't think so.
But there's still much to be learned from eruptions like Tambora, Sigurdsson says. Information that can be used in models being generated for studying global climate change. Global warming is viewed by many as the most pressing, most dangerous threat. But Sigurdsson warns that catastrophic climate change might come from an unexpected yet familiar direction.
Somewhere on the Earth, within the next 1,000 years, there will be a comparable eruption. And we'd better be aware of the consequences of such an event.
Aware, he says, and prepared.
An eruption like this occurring today would cut out telecommunications globally. The interference of the particles in the atmosphere and the aerosol would also cut out much of aviation. And societally, a huge political impact, an economic impact. No one really has attempted to evaluate what the impact would be of this type of eruption on modern society. That's a big issue to be studied.
Sigurdsson hopes to study and learn more about Tambora when he returns next year. Michael Sullivan, NPR News.
You can take a virtual tour of the Tambora excavation site at npr.org/climateconnections. This is NPR News.